CBS, I'm John Batchelor, and Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft is here to help me understand Moscow. We've talked about the reshuffle of the cabinet in Kyiv by Mr. Zelensky. No such reshuffle in Moscow, to my knowledge, although over the last 2 years there have been significant changes at the defense ministry, certainly where an economist now rules, and at the National Security Council level. But we come now to an opinion expressed by the Institute of the Study of War that is supervised by Robert Kagan, the well-known commentator, that Mr. Putin is now committed to a war of attrition. And what that suggests is the last time that was a policy was World War I. A man named Falkenhayn, who had command of the Central Powers, chiefly Germany, at the Kaiser's fingertips, decided that after the maneuver failures on East and West Front of 14 and 15, he would concentrate on bleeding the French white, was how he pictured it. That is very similar to what we hear, but Mr. Kagan says, or Mr. Kagan's counselors say, is the new Kremlin strategy, or perhaps it's the old Kremlin strategy. That means that Russia can count on almost inexhaustible manpower, and Ukraine can't. Anatole, you have an opinion that Moscow wants to make a settlement here on the basis of the Donbass. Is the war of attrition, if that's what it is, I'm speculating only because I've read it, is that something that can lead to negotiation?
Well, first, I have to congratulate Bob Kagan on his perception. I've been saying this for the past 22 months, that Russia has moved to a war of attrition. No, I mean, I think it's very clear that that is indeed the Russian strategy. Incremental gains on the ground, but above all, relying on Russia's superiority in artillery to grind down the Ukrainians, and of course, backed up by Russian superiority in manpower. Now, the question is whether this only allows the Russians to move forward incrementally, as they are now doing in the Donbass towards the town of Pokrovsk, which is an extremely important Ukrainian base, or whether at some stage the Ukrainians, as happened to all the armies sooner or later in the First World War, except the British, the Ukrainian army will actually crack and collapse, and that we just don't know. I mean, we do know, of course, that as in the First World War, though, for different reasons, contemporary military technology vastly favors the defense. As to the peace settlement, well, the thing is that, I mean, certainly, as the opinion polls show, a large majority of Russians would like a peace settlement now. Equal numbers, you know, insist that it has to be a peace settlement on basic Russian terms, and must not involve any Russian withdrawal from the territory they now hold. Putin has gone beyond that and said that the Ukrainians must withdraw from the rest of the provinces that Russia claims. I think that the basic Russian terms are pretty clear when it comes to de facto territorial control, but, you know, of not of the whole of Ukraine, of basically these four provinces plus Crimea, and neutrality. And then there are, as I was told in Moscow, these other questions, you know, of what the Russians call denazification and demilitarization, which the Russians would be prepared to negotiate down if the Ukrainians agreed to Russia's main points. But so far, there is no evidence that the Ukrainian government is prepared to do that. And of course, the Ukrainian, Zelensky has said, and Kuleba said before he resigned, that Ukraine, you know, has a new peace offer, which it is presenting in Washington and European capitals, but we don't, or that it will present, but we don't actually know what that is yet. And it's very unlikely, you know, to meet Russian demands. So for the moment, it is a question of what happens on the battlefield.
And your measure, we just have less than a minute. Your measure of where we are now as we begin the last weeks of the presidential campaign. You said earlier that no one was much paying attention to Ukraine. NATO is. Is NATO ready for another year of war in your measure? More guns, more weapons, more airplanes, all of that. We have 30 seconds.
A year maybe, but not more than that. If you look at the German government slashing its aid and saying that it will go down by more than 90% in 2027. If you look at the French finance minister saying that the French budget is grossly overstrained, I don't think that NATO is going to stay the course for another 2 years.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.